I'm Erickson Blakeney for CBS News. On May 28, 1963, a white mob attacked a racially mixed group of Tougaloo College students and faculty members who, rejecting segregation, sat at the whites-only counter at the Woolworth's Five and Dime in Jackson. Some of the peaceful demonstrators were brutally beaten. Others were doused with ketchup, sugar, and other condiments. The incident was famously captured by photographer Fred Blackwell. Three individuals are shown quietly and bravely enduring the abuse. Tougaloo College sociology professor John Salter, now known as Hunter Gray, students Joan Trumpauer Mulholland and Ann Moody. Now, Mulholland was no stranger to controversy. Surprisingly, the former Duke University student wound up on death row on her first trip to Mississippi in 1961. She wasn't a cold-blooded killer, far from it. She was a freedom rider. In June of 1961, Jackson police arrested her and other riders for breach of peace, and she spent more than 2 months behind bars. After being freed from Parchman State Prison Farm and being pressured by Duke to stop her activism, Mulholland left Duke and applied to attend the historically black Tougaloo College, becoming the first white student to attend the school. Explaining how she justified her enrollment, Mulholland says she felt that, quote, integration shouldn't be a one-way street. Whites had to make the journey, too.
My response would be to apply to historically black colleges, maybe not get accepted, but at least reach out in friendship and solidarity. And Tougaloo accepted me that winter, and their charter predated the Jim Crow law, so it was like grandfathered.
Were you surprised when you were accepted to Tougaloo, a historically black Christian college?
Not really surprised, but I figured somewhere I might get accepted when I sent out, you know, maybe half a dozen applications. But certainly Mississippi was where the next phase of the movement was going to be. This was before the Freedom Rides or anything. There had been nothing as far as, you know, student demonstrations going on. So it was going to be a happening place, and it was good to go there. Their money, all their financial support came from the northern churches, too, so they felt they were in a position to accept white students.
So 50 years ago, you participated in the infamous sit-in at the Woolworth store in Jackson. What do you remember about that day?
Well, I wasn't supposed to be part of the sit-in. I was a spotter at a picket line up the street, and then when they got arrested, the two of us white lady spotters came down to see what was happening at Woolworth. We came in and just the violence that was going on with our classmate Memphis Norman being stomped. And sitting at the counter, it just sort of became endure. The three of us sitting there together and later joined by someone else. But I think it was like an out-of-body experience that odds were we were definitely going to be killed, it looked like, but, it doesn't matter. There's better life to come, and it's just the body sitting there. And, like, for me, my soul or deepest persona had already left that shell of a body. The song, "You Can Kill the Body But Not the Soul," comes to mind. And it was like my soul was a guardian angel hovering above me, sort of keeping an eye on things for me. But it was just enduring.
Was there something else that got you through that moment? I mean, it's just such an intense photo, an intense moment. People can get some sense through the photo, but of course they're not getting the full picture.
You knew you had friends. Ed King, our chaplain, was in the crowd. For me, the religious faith was a definite important part. So I think faith in God and the comfort of friends was what was there. But, you know, I hear we were just sitting in real violence for 2 hours, but it seemed like it was forever.
The marker installed this week is part of the Mississippi Freedom Trail, a series of signs honoring those who challenged segregation. The sit-in that Mulholland participated in was similar to other protests around the South and took place 2 weeks before Mississippi NAACP leader Medgar Evers was assassinated in Jackson. And so what does it mean to you to have this moment in history recalled with a marker on the Mississippi Freedom Trail?
The fact that we have come to that point and the events with former governor and the mayor and college presidents and old friends and reporters there, it was just unbelievable. And the sun was shining but not too hot and a light breeze. It was absolutely perfect. it didn't happen in vain. We just wish Medgar Evers could have been there.
Now, Joan's son, Loki Mulholland, has captured her story in a new documentary, An Ordinary Hero, The True Story of Joan Trumpbauer Mulholland. Loki, tell me about the title.
An Ordinary Hero. My mother is about as ordinary as you can get. I mean, she doesn't own a cell phone. She doesn't own a microwave. You know, she could barely use her computer. You know, she still picks up sticks in the backyard and uses those for kindling in the fireplace. She is ordinary. Naturally, anyone who sees the film and anyone you know I've interviewed about the, you know, for the film would say, oh, she is not ordinary at all. You know, that's a given. But the importance was is to help people understand that ordinary people can make a difference.
Loki's mother does not dispute this idea. What's the single most important piece of advice that you can impart to others who want to effect some sort of change in their own communities?
Go for it.
Civil rights activist Joan Trumpbauer Mulholland. Erickson Blakeney, CBS News.